This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The natural gas industry is pushing an idea that promises a new source of cheap energy. Fracking is short for hydraulic fracturing. It's a method of extracting natural gas from shale. The technology is not new. It's already being used in some places, but there are serious questions about possible environmental effects. For one, fracking releases methane, which could pose a hazard to local groundwater supplies, and fracking requires the use of toxic chemicals. Right now, fracking is not allowed in North Carolina. The industry wants permission, claiming fracking is safe, but the research is scarce. The Duke Center on Global Change has produced a report called Research and Policy Recommendations for Hydraulic Fracturing and Shale Gas Extraction. Robert B. Jackson is a biology professor at Duke and one of the authors of the report. Robert Jackson, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Frank.
How does fracking work?
Well, fracking is essentially taking water and injecting that water underground under pressure. The water typically has sand to prop open cracks that are formed by the pressure, and then chemicals also to help the natural gas flow. It's really a combination not just of the fracking itself, but also horizontal drilling that's provided the revolution in shale gas that we see today.
Yep, and it's not new technology, am I right?
Fracking isn't new. It's been used for more than 50 years in a number of places. The horizontal drilling, the ability of drillers to go down, for instance, a mile and then change direction and go through a formation instead of just passing through it vertically to actually go across that formation, that's newer. And the combination of horizontal drilling and the fracking is really what's new here.
And the point is there's a whole lot of natural gas, we think, trapped in pockets in the shale. How much natural gas are we talking about?
A lot. I mean, nobody really knows, but between 2009 and 2010, the Energy Information Administration, the federal body, doubled their estimate of accessible shale gas deposits. So people are talking about or projecting that half of the natural gas that we produce in this country in about 25 years will be from shale gas.
We're hearing about some of the potential dangers. What are they?
Well, there are a couple of issues that people are concerned about. And the study that we looked at, published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, examined the relationship between how near homeowners were to a natural gas well and what, if any, contaminants they found in their well. And to our knowledge, ours was the first study to look at that. What we found was that homeowners within a kilometer of a well were much more likely to have high concentrations of methane, in some cases dangerously high, than homeowners that lived more than a kilometer away. What we didn't find, which is equally important, is any evidence for contamination from the chemicals in fracking fluids or deep water from underground that can contain radioactivity and things. So we found higher methane and other gases, but not evidence of fracking fluids themselves.
All right. What we should do now is sort out these two problems or two potential problems. Methane is actually a byproduct. It's what gets released in the fracking process. And then you have, as I understand it, perhaps in the water itself that's injected, less than 1% of all of that solution includes toxic chemicals, right?
Yeah, not all of those chemicals are toxic by any means, but it includes some organics typically. As I mentioned earlier, it includes sand and other things. So it's a smorgasbord that a cocktail in a sense, every company having a slightly different formulation and learning as they go.
And a small percentage of that in the whole process. So let's talk about methane, which is something that gets released just in the process of releasing the natural gas. First of all, is methane regulated?
Methane is not regulated in drinking water in the United States. And methane really isn't a byproduct. Methane is the dominant product that companies are after. It's not regulated. The Department of the Interior has set standards for methane that are primarily concerned with flammability issues and even the possibility of explosions. But until you get up to very high concentrations, there isn't any regulation at all. And one of the things that we have called for in the paper one of the papers you referred to earlier is a medical review asking a panel of doctors to look at the literature and the absence of literature in chronic low-level effects and ask, do we need testing in this area? I'm not a medical doctor, so that's not my call.
So what are the things, as you say, methane's what they're going for. That is the natural gas. They'd like to get all of it out, but obviously not all of it's going to be, you know, recaptured. Some of it gets out. Now, the industry says there is – you've got this horizontal drilling that's going. You get down a little bit, then you go across through the shale bed, and that is so far – there's so much rock between that drill site, that mine, if you want to call it that, and the groundwater, that there's no way the methane gets into it. It's just not dangerous, the industry says.
Well, the industry's correct in that the gas in the Marcellus in Pennsylvania and New York, where we've worked, is thousands of feet underground, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 feet, even more. And the drinking water wells that we sampled were only a couple of hundred feet underground typically. So you can think of a mile of vertical separation between these layers. And it's unlikely, I think, that with such a separation you would have the direct migration of methane or other gases or liquids up that mile into people's wells. What we think is more likely going on is that the casings, the gas casings through which the gas moves upwards, can have fractures or cracks in them, and the methane and possibly liquids leak out those cracks into the surrounding rock and water. And that, we think, is the simplest explanation. We don't have proof for that as a mechanism. We don't know what the mechanism is. But that's the simplest one, and something that may or may not have anything to do with hydraulic fracturing itself.
And it might suggest that with proper – if you just had better equipment or better ways to monitor the equipment, you could practically eliminate the danger from this particular practice?
I think that's correct. The best case solution here would be to identify that as the issue, to learn more about where it is an issue, but then to take steps to improve the casing procedures of the wells. And industry has already made some steps in recent years to do that. So I don't think the idea of leaking out the well casings is a new one, really.
In general, your report recommends more research. In what areas?
Yeah, it's shocking for a scientist to recommend more research. Well, I've mentioned one, that the health effects, I think, is an important one. I looked into the literature and couldn't find any peer-reviewed studies that examined the health effects of low-level concentrations of methane from breathing or ingestion. And it may be that because methane is a relatively non-reactive gas, that there aren't any health effects. But I think understanding and looking at the potential health effects is something we need to do. We've also proposed, and by we, I have colleagues Evner Vengosh and Stephen Osborne and Nat Warner at Duke, have suggested that we need a comprehensive database of where methane is found naturally in high concentrations. That information would be useful because it would allow people to separate where high concentrations of methane might be attributable to gas extraction and where those high concentrations have been there from the beginning, but perhaps people didn't look until the gas drilling came home near them. And another thing that we've recommended looking for is the loss of methane all the way to the atmosphere. Methane's a very potent greenhouse gas, much more potent than carbon dioxide is. And so what people call fugitive methane emissions, the leaking of methane into air, could be an issue if shale gas extraction expands as it's proposed or projected to.
Do you think it would be wise to allow fracking now, given what we know?
Well, this is a relevant question for the state of North Carolina, of course, because we're having that debate right now. There are a couple of things, a number of things that are different about North Carolina from the Pennsylvania and New York system that we've worked in. And I have not looked closely at the geology here in North Carolina yet, but in the Deep River Basin, for instance, in Lee and Chatham counties, the rock, the geology might be much less fractured than in the Marcellus system. And if it's less fractured, that's good news because fewer cracks mean that the movement or migration of gases and liquids will be slower. On the other hand, our gas is, in some cases at least, much shallower than it is in the New York and Pennsylvania system, perhaps only 1,500 or 2,000 feet underground, with well water being a couple of hundred feet underground. Now, that's still a considerable distance, but the closer you get, the less distance you have between where the gas is found and where the drinking water is found, I think raises some issues that make contamination possibly more likely. So I'm not ready to endorse a ban or a proposal for fracking in the state of North Carolina, but I think there are some immediate questions that we need to look at, and background monitoring is definitely needed.
Well, would you say that North Carolina or any other state should go forward sort of in parallel with the research, or should we wait for some more research to be done on the health impacts and on the technology itself before you lift a ban?
Well, banning fracking is not allowed, and horizontal drilling is not allowed in North Carolina now. As a scientist, my preference would be to wait until we have better information. That's in a perfect world. This is not a perfect world. There are jobs at stake. There's money at stake. There are many things. But if I were in charge and we had the luxury of waiting, that would be my preference.
Do we know anything about the geological impact apart from the health impacts? What it does to, structurally, if you just sort of make these holes across beds of shale?
Well, in a sense, I would say we do and we don't. I mean, we do, and geologists do, and industry does, because we've been drilling oil and gas wells in this country for 150 years or more. So there's a lot of experience, a lot of data, a lot of expertise. The procedures that we use now for casing wells, for plugging wells when they're abandoned are better than they used to be. It wasn't uncommon 100 years ago for people just to walk away from the hole in the ground that's essentially left open. So that doesn't happen anymore. But there's a lot more that we need to understand about the movement of the methane and other things underground.
Robert Jackson, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Frank.
Robert B. Jackson's a biology professor at Duke and one of the authors on a report on fracking. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Our program continues in a moment. Stay with us.